we're going to kind of wrap up this metaphor today in terms of a teaching's a central project. But before we jump into, and we've been walking through, so what are some practical ways we live out these things that God has called us to? Some forms would say at the Ten Commands of Christ, or you know, what the core seven commands of Christ, Ten Commands of Christ, in light of being a disciple, what do we need to participate? What do we need to yield in? But we did, on Monday nights every 3 weeks, there's a gathering of men. It's open to anyone. I guess there's a commitment that anybody can check it out, but over time we'd love people to, you know, consider being a part of reading what we're reading and talking what we're talking about. So it is an open meeting, but we are asking people to kind of invest in it a little bit. Where we just want to talk about leadership things. What does it mean to care for the church? What does it mean to become more effective in leading ourselves, our families, the kingdom of God, being more effective as disciple makers, as followers of Jesus? And so that group, we went to a pottery studio up in Fort Collins, and we played on the wheels, which was kind of an interesting thing. They didn't have enough wheels for everybody to do it all at once, so we had to break into two different groups. So this is a picture of one of those groups, and this is an example of Molly's. No, not really. I think everybody had their share of struggles, with the exceptions being David and Ann. I think they both were very dutifully just careful and came up with some beautiful pottery. I was doing well until I wasn't, and I think I did okay in the end. But there's a thing to it that there's lots of pictures. What's different about making pottery versus the metaphor of being on the potter's wheel is when we're on the wheel, there's an implied agreement or cooperation on our part. Does that make sense? Where the clay doesn't really get to have a say in whether it's going to be on the pot or not. We do, and God calls us to that. But so many other really cool metaphors. And I just thought some of those were in that. It occurs to me that there's really these two phases of being shaped into something. The first phase is when all that pressure is really, it's hard and it's strong and you're really squeezing it and you raise it up and you squish it back down and you form it. But you're not making anything yet. You're just preparing the clay at that stage. You're not actually forming anything. You're centering it, which is important. You're helping it get where it needs to be, but you're actually conditioning so you think of even like a soil type biblically. It's being conditioned. What kind of clay is this going to be? Is it going to be pliable and responsive and moldable? Or is it, I don't even know, that there's probably chemical things that are happening in it from the heat and the spin and the pressure that make it more able to do what you want it to do. But then you say, okay, now I'm going to do something with it. And you start to work from so you start to pull it up and get something so that there's an opening in the middle and it's not just a lump going tall and then flat and a hockey puck and all this kind of manipulation. But now we're going to actually try to shape something. And then it's not hard pressure. Then it becomes really, really skilled. And even as James was talking about that, I remember what stood out to me, I could put pressure on the outside, but I had to also provide a support on the inside. I couldn't just push from the outside. I had to provide that counterbalance, and thinking how God is always doing both of those things at the same time, supporting us, encouraging us, but also shaping us. And he's keeping us from falling. But if we don't want to be shaped, and maybe the my failure was, it was looking really, really good. And this is really true thing in people's lives as well. The foundation wall was too thin. The foundation wasn't strong enough. It was when it went wild, it was perfect, round, centered, but I'd made the wall on the bottom too small, and it just broke and flipped. So there's this nice round disc on the thing, and then there's clay over on the floor because it left the foundation. So those metaphors of all of those things are a part of what God is doing, and we are naive to think we know exactly what he's doing at all times. And if it's time for him to kind of knead us and press us and move us to a more pliable place, that it's not feeling like we're making progress. He still is the master potter doing something, and to have that kind of confidence and trust in him, and to not grow weary or exasperated by his efforts in our lives. So I think there were some good metaphors there. before we jump into the scripture and maybe an application today, I did want to give it up. Cindy and I are going to be gone. We're leaving on Thursday, taking our 12-year-old granddaughter Grace, and we're going to Marseille area. We'll fly into Marseille, and then head west into the Provence and spend some time with three gospel worker couples, three native French and four Americans. We're going to debrief those three couples over the course of 4 days as we're staying there, and we'll have lots of time since we'll all be living together in the same place, and their kids will be around. And so it should be a great time. Would really appreciate your prayer. Garrett and Christine are one of those couples. Obviously, lots of good things happening through their ministry and leadership, and a lot of pressure. And I still think God is just really forming him as a son in really, really good ways, and really proud of him. But I know he still wants to keep growing and processing things so they don't shipwreck them. And we would just love your prayer and support. We'll be gone, and we'll miss two Sundays. We'll be flying back on the 31st, and probably land shortly after you finish up the gathering on the 31st. And maybe do a couple fun things. Go to Mediterranean or go to a French mountaintop village or something. We'll take our granddaughter around a little bit. Mostly we'll just be hanging out with the church. There's a new church. For those of you who've kind of followed that story, some of you have been there or heard stories, there's a church in right near the farm now that's flourishing and beginning to take root, small house church. And so I'm hoping at least one of those Sundays we'll be able to sit with them, and it'll all be in French, so we won't be able to understand what's going on, but it would be fun to just see that new expression of faith and the vision just really coming to bear, and the hundreds and hundreds of people that are being impacted by your prayers, by your care, by your support of those things. And to just recognize the debriefing tool is one of those things that has this very broad, very wide value to the kingdom of God. And as those opportunities come up for you to get involved with that training, to consider being a part of that, you don't have to do it as often as Nathan might, as somebody who has a little more full-time work to do that. But even once or twice a year, if you could sit with somebody, in fact, Carol is going to, and Nathan are going to be zooming in from here to sit with one of the couples. It'll be like between 7 and 9 a.m. here when it's time to do the one-on-one portions of the debriefing. So we're going to just have that portion be done via Zoom. And so those kind of opportunities are out there to just participate in what God is doing around the world. It is pretty exciting. I hope you're in prayer and have joy that's how God is using us as a body and some of the tools that we've been given. So grateful that Peggy has given us that training and tool and entrusted it to us. So any questions about our trip or what we're doing or why? We'll land, barring something not working correctly. The plan would be back on the afternoon of the 31st. The debriefing will be, I might zoom in briefly on that a week from now and just give you a quick update on where things are at. But about this time, we'll be starting to gather them and have a meal and talk about the debriefing a little bit. So it may not happen. Logistically, it may not work to do that, but love to connect from that side of the world briefly. So, anything else in that? Please consider it. It's so many of these tools. We're going to talk about another one today. Sometimes I think we can think, "Oh, this is for me," or maybe I could never do something like that. It's either too technical or too spiritual or too time consuming or whatever. I don't know what all, any number of things you might consider, but there really is an opportunity to do the work of God as we come together in this. And this is, I think, a really, really good one that it's going to be widely used. And the more it becomes church-based, I think the more it will have legs to go and bring real value into the kingdom. It's nice to see it working not in a clinical setting and having a really good effect and really good fruit. And there's folks in this room that have walked through that. Our test case is, for most people doing debriefing, you don't need to be a PhD in psychology. You just need to have some basic skills and a lot of care. And you can, for most people, that's enough. For some, it may not be. There may be traumatic things that would be over our pay grade. But for most people, the average believer can learn how to do that. So it's kind of fun to think about. Okay, I'm going to talk about another way of sharing sorrow today in community. We had, a couple weeks ago, we had actually spent some time trying to reflect on the pain, sorrow, experience of God's loss and how he has experienced it and try to associate that with comfort him. We're gonna flip that around today and do another exercise and like to kind of build a case for it. For those of you who are unfamiliar with these things, for some of you this may be some review, but I do think it's important. And one of the things that's, I think, a really important question to keep clarifying in our minds is, what is Christianity, the expression of faith, supposed to look like? Is that the passage we read in Acts 2, 42 through 47, is that what it's supposed to look like? Is it supposed to have a certain character or a tenor? Is it supposed to look like a concert? Is it supposed to, what is it supposed to look like? Is it supposed to look like Mother Teresa living in a leper colony? What is it supposed to look like? What should be the impact be? What should a community of Jesus followers look like? What should the children of disciples look like? And if we can find those things, then we have a target and a vector to pursue. And I believe those simple commands of Christ, now that's not all we need. Certainly there's theology and understanding that goes beyond those things. But as a basic way of operating, staying on that potter's wheel, it seems like if we can just understand that God has a grain, a target, a general way of being his people that are important, and to keep that in mind, okay? And we're going to look at a few scriptures. Probably won't spend a lot of time building this foundation. Can you turn my phone off, please? But before we do that, I was impressed again when we gathered over the weekend, Friday night, Saturday, just how important it is to have an awe, reverence, a sense of expectations, that something that we're having a meeting with God here. That's what we're trying to do. I don't know if you're having a meeting with God, but when I'm in worship, I'm not singing songs. I'm fighting like crazy to make sure that my heart is in this posture towards God of reverence and awe and fighting for his presence to push away my flesh or my hang-ups or whatever it might be to say, I am fighting for something. And when we open up the scripture, and I'm not saying it's true of anyone here, I'm just saying it's true in general. When someone says the Bible, they go, yeah. I like that part, I don't like that part. We kind of become like connoisseurs or consumers at a smorgasbord. I'll just pick a little bit of that, and the rest of it's just, you know, I'm not really into cottage cheese. So let's just leave that there. Does that make sense? I would love for us to just work hard in our souls. That part of kneading the clay, of squeezing it together, pushing it down, getting it ready for God to do something. What does that look like for you? I just think part of it is to elevate and to honor and to restate some things. And so I'd love for just read Psalm 19 together out loud. A number of you have memorized this recently. But just to remember that this is our statement of faith. This is the foundation that everything else that we want to dream about, this is true. You don't need secret knowledge. You don't need to be a priest. You don't need to understand anything special. You just need to know this book is where the answers are. And if you read it and you obey it, you're going to experience these things, and your clay is going to get soft so God can actually start to do something with you. And if you don't want to be manipulated by God into that, letting his word have its way in you, then you probably won't be shaped that much. And that, I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying, just don't have an expectation of becoming some beautiful pottery that's useful to God if we're not also willing to let him press us into this place where he can actually use us. So let's read this together. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. There's a lot of really bold statements there. How do you feel about it? What feels true in that? I want that reward. I want you to have that reward. And there's only one path towards it. So let's read a couple scriptures here, just briefly again. This orientation of what it's supposed to look like. I'm just going to highlight a few verses out of Romans 12. When we're forming community, when we're going to live in this posture of being a people together, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Skipping down to 13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who curse you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And certainly, don't think you know it all. There's a posture here of being a people and in cooperation. This is what it's supposed to look like. Now, this Romans 12:15 verse is at the center of a lot of what we try to experience and help missionary teams and marriages and families, is this being emotionally connected. All that we're going to be doing in the couples conference with Michael and Claudia will be an expression of this learning to stay in this emotionally connected, this sharing joy, sharing sorrow, sharing, learning how to comfort, making that a normal part of our lives. Okay? Behold, you delight in the truth in the inward being. You teach wisdom in the secret heart. There's this place inside us that God wants to make healthy, and that involves this process of learning to comfort, learning to rejoice together, learning to share joy, learning to experience this empathy muscle. Now, I don't know where you are. I do know there's people that struggle with God is not good. I've experienced trauma. I feel isolated. I feel hurt. I feel like a victim. I feel like all kinds of things. The great blessing of the Word of God is that we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay there. There are pathways out of those emotional states and those places of trauma that are available to us, and we're getting more all the time, but there's some really good ones. And so if we're not willing to make a move towards health, we will stay in that place in the potter where we just stay wonky. It stay wobbly. It never gets pressed. It never gets shaped. It just stays a lump of clay. And that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. And if that's what you want, that's okay. But there is a process, and it's available to us. And one of the huge ones of the steps of that process is learning to meet emotion with emotion. Now, you may not have experienced any trauma. You may not have anything wrong that you need to work with. You may have a perfectly healthy, spiritually formed, mature soul, innermost person. You may be just like microns from having the character and soul of Jesus. These tools are still really important because it's how we minister to each other. Don't check out because you're not in trauma. Don't check out because you're not sad or needing to be cared for right now. Does anybody have the gift of healing where you go around praying for people to be healed? And then we can all do that, and I think we've experienced that. But is it kind of a normal, like the apostles are doing these in Acts 2:42, the apostles are doing these dynamic miracles. I don't have that experience. I don't have that gift. I think sometimes God does, peeks back and lets me experience something really cool. But that's not a normal thing for me. These gifts of healing, they don't require a special gift. They require a ministry of love and care. And you will bring healing. You will bring healing. This is not just for you. This is teaching your kids how to walk through trauma and giving them tools and practices. When we learn to express this empathy for each other, we're bringing health and life universally. Probably, that's too many, 2 to 5 times a week. I have an active time of either TPM, praying with something, offering comfort, leading them through the tool we're going to use today. Somewhere around that number on average. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's not. Almost universally, I could count on one hand, and that's been going on for 10 years, 12 years. I can count on one hand how many times God did not bring himself and something, a blessing to that person. And I don't think it was God. I think they just didn't really want it or weren't willing to accept it. you do have, I don't know if it's a gift, you do have a ministry to bring healing and health and wholeness to one another and to people in your spheres of influence. Do not be afraid to use these tools as a way to bring, to pray with people. When you offer to pray, this is a prayer you can use, okay? Everybody's complex. You may have done most of the work, and now you're a single thread with just maybe a couple small knots in it, but most of us are kind of a mess. But if we do not lead people in this, you've made known to me the path of life in your presence, and this would be not you, God. There's something about us making that connection to the person of God that opens up all these possibilities. And if we stay stuck in our trauma, our hurt, our anger, our unforgiveness, our bitterness, whatever it might be, and say, nope, I'm not going into the presence of God, we will not find that hope. We will not find that healing. It's significant that we do this. Comes down to this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And when you're talking about trauma specifically, real hurts, things that you've experienced, and we all experience them, how do you process those hurts? Do we hold grudges? Do we hold on to anger? Do we push people away? What do? That's the common way, especially in our culture. That's the only, in some ways, that's the only acceptable masculine emotion in our culture, is you can be angry. Well, that's understandable. Okay, he's emotional. He's angry. Well, that's not a very good one. And it's certainly not very useful if we want to be ministering the kingdom of God. So there's things going on in our heart. And this is the tool, the four drawers of pain. And we'll keep bringing this up. This is how we start to sort out, where is the hurt? Is it a lie? Is it something that traumatic has happened? Is this a legitimate need that's being met? Am I just being fleshy? Am I just being grabby? What's going on? And particularly today, in your own life, in your kids' lives, in people you meet, in your neighbors, do we have a tool and a process for helping people to do this? Because this is God's prescribed methodology for dealing with trauma. In your life, tomorrow, Monday, August, what would it be, 17th, 18th? I know Thursday's the 21st because I'm on a plane. Other than that, I don't pay any attention to dates. How many people do you think you're going to bump into that are experiencing some kind of pain or trauma? That if you could scratch the surface, how are you really doing? What's the condition of your emotional state? How many hurting people do you think you would find? Glory be to God. If you get good at this process, ministering the presence of God, where is the fullness of joy? In your presence. Ministering people into the presence of God and let them speak. If you had a friend that was a paraplegic and Jesus' ministry was active on the earth, would you have drugged them to his presence? I want good for you. I want to bless you. Will you consider your opportunities to minister the kingdom of God by bringing God's presence in comfort and healing? Maybe not physical. I don't think there's a promise that we'll be healed physically. I do think there's a promise that God will comfort us. I believe that's a very clear promise, that is the ministry of Jesus throughout the church age. So sharing this painful space with God and others. Okay. Just a couple quick reminders. Build this case. Again, the word of the God is a word of God is true. It's right. It's honorable. It's precious. It's sweet. This is his heart. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. That's a condition of his heart, his character, his nature. So if you, in your own life, want to experience that, you find yourself in a place of brokenhearted or crushed in spirit, God's intention is to meet you there and move you to a different place. If you are not in that place of being crushed in spirit, and you're walking around people that are in that place of crush your spirit, it is God's good intention to participate with you Because he doesn't step in now. You are his body. His intention, his mind, his headship is floating over us and in us through the Spirit. But he does not come to earth and sit with someone and hold their hand and offer comfort unless they have a skill of how to access that. You could have that skill. And you can minister the presence of God to people, to yourself, to one another, and to those who that you bump into that are in a hard spot. This promise, this idea of comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. So this, what he wants to do to you, he wants to do through you in this comfort. If you want to just write this down, it's a little article. Did a great job, got questions. Just doing a little bit rather than rewrite it or restate it. There's this idea, this very clear picture when you start searching the scriptures. And it's not hidden. It's not secret. It's very obvious. You just have to ask the right questions. Empathy, comfort, God's heart, God's compassion. All of that is very clearly on God's mind. And he does not promise to fix every problem. He promises to be with you. That's the only universal circumstantial promise in the whole New Testament. I will be with you. I'll be near you. With Emmanuel. So what does that look like to be with him? And it's accessing his heart and his care. What is he thinking? What is he feeling in as he spends time with you, as you welcome him near? Do you want to know? Is that important? Are we missing an opportunity in our own trauma, in our own hurt, in our own wounding? And I believe we certainly are missing opportunities in the opportunity to minister his presence. Psalm 23, this incredible picture of comfort. There's no hidden messages here. This is an artistic picture of standing in the presence of God. When it says, there's stuff out there that says, you know, the green pastures is little tufts of grass and gravel. Well, in this person, what he's talking about, King David, is that someplace you'd want to lay down? He's talking about a very lush field of green. That's the presence of God. Plenty to eat. His presence. Joy forevermore. Pleasure forevermore. He's creating an artistic, poetic picture of God's comfort and nearness and power as we walk through difficult things. You don't have to understand anything secret to know that. This is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as you are without sin. If you look at that verse, the root word, sympathize, and this is it, it's sympathio, it's to have compassion, be touched with a feeling of, to be affected with the same feeling as another. That is much closer to empathy in the modern English definition than sympathy. I'm not throwing something at you. I'm joining it in you. Come to me. This is the heart of Jesus. Come to me, all who are labored and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take upon my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to come and bring care for you. I will give you rest when you come. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there into a boat to a desolate place by himself. When the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot by towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them and healed their sick. There's a couple places that in the English, Old English word, it was what became the word for spleen. Okay? So when it's, his spleen ached is the way the Old English would, but it meant, or it hurt in his guts, where he was expressing this deep empathetic connection with people. That's the heart of God. He wants to be in the, you want to be in the presence. Now, I've got a few examples. I've got a couple hard copies of what we're going to walk through here in just a minute. Just a very short exercise. But I also want to make sure that you know this is available. Some of you do, some of you don't. This is Connect is the ministry we started so that we could go into creative access places. It won't survive a deep dive of not being Christian, but we didn't want it to be completely associated right on the front label with with church or Christianity. So if we do have an opportunity, when we're going to Turkey and we're carrying a bunch of flyers, we don't want, you know, somebody just looking through there to go, you know, First Church of the Holy, whatever, to, you know, pop off the page. If they want to find out who we are, they can't. But so we designed this second organization. And basically this website exists just to distribute things. There's nothing sold there. If somebody wants to support us, we can do that on the website. But beyond people who want to sign up for a class or conference or monthly support, help us do what we're doing, mostly it's just a place for resources. And so all of these resources, why is that important to you? Well, if you want to be a minister of hope in your neighborhood, oh, there's grief. I'm going to offer to walk through that person or through a little exercise if they would like to. I want to pray for them. I would love to just help you walk through a grieving process. Would that be helpful to you? And you just download it and there it is. You can pass it anywhere in the world. It's all free. We don't charge for anything. It's all available so that you can minister. And there are people using these things all over the world. They download this experiencing comfort from God. I just walked through another very highly fruitful apostolic type. We just walked through this last week. So helpful. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Ministering the presence of God. Shepherding people into his comfort and care. And you can all do it. No magic gifts. We can all do this. We can bring good. So this is the front page. That's the front page. If you go scroll down on the front page, we're going to go through this super quick. There's a spot right at the bottom in those tabs called All Resources. This is the easiest way. If you know what you're looking for, this is the easiest way to find it. Click on that All Resources, and it just brings up everything that's available to download, from training videos to handouts like this, debriefing tools, Steps to Freedom with God, anything that we have posted, it's all right there on that All Resources. So that's the fastest, easiest way to find it if you're looking for a particular thing. So I've got highlighted here, Experiencing the Comfort of God, and that's what it looks like on the website. They're all PDFs, so they all maintain their formatting. If you bring them, again, I have a few of them. I'm happy to print out more if people want them. But it's really just a simple process, and I'd love for us to just walk through this. It'll only take about 5 minutes. And perhaps you will experience God's nearness, God's presence, and his joy, and his care. If you want to do that, that's what we're going to do. If you don't want to do that, it might be good to leave the room. Here's the goal. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Is that a promise? Is that true for you? If you feel afflicted, if there's a loss you're experiencing, does this say that God promises to comfort you? Or doesn't he? Can you bring faith to that? It seems pretty clear to me, but you may not believe that. So we're going to start this process. What I'd love for us to do, if you want to participate in this, again, you don't have to, but if you would like to, just going to ask a few questions and then pray a few prayers. And your job is to just allow Jesus to come close and try to maintain contact with your innermost being, your spleen area, whatever that is in the King James, is to let that part of you be present and be paying attention to it. And allow Jesus, in Ephesians 3, he says that's where he wants to live, is in that innermost being. That's his promise. That's my hope. I want to live there. I want to make my home there. And so we're going to welcome him, but we're also going to present to him maybe a challenging situation. Could be from recent times. Could be something when you were young. It doesn't matter. Something that you would like to experience God's presence and comfort. Some trauma, some hurt, some loss. One of the things I did recently walking through this, it came up in a TPM exercise, but we walked through this exercise as well. I had a dog I loved run away when I was about 11 years old. And that was the first time I remember doubting God because he didn't bring him back. And it was kind of this significant moment in my life that loss triggered a question, is God really good? And that tape was playing for 50 years. Is God really good? Can God really be trusted? Does he really care? And so we use this tool. So this is an example of something that could be way in the back or could be 20 minutes ago. Maybe something I just said hurt you. So that's the posture. And Edgar, if you could bring up just something gentle to kind of just set the room a little bit, okay? So to walk through this, if we just close our eyes, just try to have access to our innermost being. Just kind of scan your heart. Let me pray, Lord, would you bring to mind for every person something that's troubling in every soul? Bring it to mind. Something maybe that's hard to forgive, some disappointment, some betrayal, some wound, some like just a legitimate loss. A lot of death in our midst. There is real loss. Whatever you would want to bring to mind for every child of yours in this room, we ask you to bring that to mind. As you kind of sit in that pain for just a minute, in the quiet of your own heart, let God know how that feels. It hurts, I'm sad, I feel alone. Jesus, it really hurt when that happened. I feel disappointed. Whatever it might be, just in the quietness of your own heart, talk to God about that pain and sorrow. And as you're talking to him, just make sure you're inviting him to come close. Sit near you. Choose to pray that Revelation 3:20 prayer that he's knocking. He wants to come in. He wants to have fellowship. He wants to be with you. As you're sitting in that pain, letting him know about it and inviting him close. Maybe just ask him, Lord, do you understand my pain? Do you understand that this hurt me? Maybe a different question for him, Lord, did you ever experience something like I experienced? Then how does it make you feel for me and with me in this pain? Maybe you have a sense of Jesus speaking, being near, giving you something, caring for you, empathizing with your pain. If he has, maybe you could just thank him for his compassion and comfort. Maybe you're still wrestling to make that connection. That could be hard for you. It's okay. Maybe you need to come back to this space later. That's you. Maybe just telling me that you're not done. You want to make this connection. You want to be in his presence. Hold him to his promise of being the God of all comfort. Jesus, we do tell you, we thank you that you are our ever-present help. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You said you were our comforter. Thank you, Jesus, that you said you would comfort those who mourn. Thank you, Father. You said you are the God and Father of all comfort. All three of you have promised to participate in caring for our hurts, meeting us in our pain, joining us in those hard places. And I thank you for that. Thank you for that heart. Thank you that you've called us to minister the kingdom in these ways. If we have gifts, Lord, we want to use them, but we also just want to use our normal birthright to use the comfort you give to us to comfort others and let them experience you. Let them see and taste that you are good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe that was a hard thing for you. Maybe it was a very easy thing. If anybody had a quick testimony of something God may have done or shared with you, sometimes it's just an image. Sometimes it's just a sense of him near and holding us. Sometimes there's clear words. Sometimes it's a Bible verse. There's a myriad of ways that he can speak truth and care and comfort. And what I love is it's so custom to what's meaningful to us. It's one of the great joys of doing a lot of transformational prayer with people is to hear how different people experience truth coming in, and it lands so much more deeply because that's who they are, and God knows that's who they are. Anybody have a story or testimony they would want to communicate? Don't have to, for sure. Experienced a lot of that, Autumn. We're sad with you. Thanks for sharing. Okay. There's a few of these. If anybody would like one, take it home, look at it. It's available on the website. I would love for you to maybe just ask, Lord, is there anyone, Lord, you would want me to be prepared this week, if you know, maybe you know they're going through hard things, to try to say, you know, would you be interested in praying about that? I'd love to introduce you to the caring God I serve through prayer. There's lots of ways to do that. So bless you guys. Hopefully you continue to work on that skill, that practice of drawing near to God and bringing him our sorrow and pain and our complaints. It's part of the lament. It's kind of a similar idea as we bring our complaints, not just our hurts. Those are both really important to staying healthy and not dipping into fleshy responses. So, Lord, we again just thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to draw near to you in worship, in the word, and allowing you to comfort us. And I pray, God, you would be doing a work in us that we would become formed more and more into your image as we find joy in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, instructions for food, need to.
Food out, get some tables out. There is a cooler of drinks that are left over. I'll probably just put it out on the patio because it doesn't have a stop top for the water to come out. So it's going to slowly leak water.
The cooler? Okay, good. You want to pray for the meal quick? We don't have to clear the stage tonight.